Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And this one basically is a fairly easy one to find and to go through because it really is just one chapter. Starts in the first verse that says in Hebrew, Vayelech Moshe. And went Moshe, or and Moses went, is how we'd phrase it. And he spoke. So he went and he spoke all of these words unto Kol Israel, all of Israel. And what he said next has a number of things that are important for a bunch of reasons. At least in terms of the general understanding, there's a little bit of of midrashic element in this. I don't really argue with it because it makes sense, and maybe it's just because I've heard it so many times. But essentially, chapter 31 is said to be on Moshe's last day of life, and literally from here throughout the rest of the Torah, we're going to see what happens at the end of the book. And he says the following to them: I am 120 years old this day. Let me pause there. Because one of the things that I've always thought was interesting, I'm 120 years old this day. You can literally divide Moshe's life into three 40-year segments. And it's not like we haven't talked about this before, but basically, first 40 years, he was growing up in Mitzrayim in Egypt and learned about a whole lot of things at the top of the heap in Pharaoh's kingdom. Literally as kind of a son of the palace. He was exposed to law and Egyptian, i.e. pagan culture, and a whole lot of things. Things that, of course, would at least kind of round out his education in what was to come. Next 40 years, this is kind of the part that's always fascinated me. There's not nearly as much written about it in Scripture. However, there's a little. He was tending sheep. Moshe went to Midian, and he worked with his father-in-law, Yitro, got himself a wife, and tended sheep for 40 years. And I can't help but I always just kind of want to muse on that when I think about the middle portion of this guy's life. You know, you're going to go be one of the greatest prophets and leaders in the entire history of humankind, going to be the fellow that literally brings the Torah, the instruction, to the world, and we need to get you prepared. So you've had 40 years of training in the house of Pharaoh, so you understand the pagan side of things. Now we're going to teach you about what it means to tend sheep for 40 years. And I can't help but think, man, there's a message there for sure. All right, the last 40 years is what most of the book from Exodus to where we are now is about. It's about the time in the wilderness, the 40 years in the wilderness, and the things that Moshe had to do in the process of getting them there and of teaching them and, of course, himself being teachable about what it is that Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh had and intended to do. So, fascinating stuff. Anyway, here he is, 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in, and Yahuwah has said to me, you are not going to go over the Jordan. Yahuwah, your El, he will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, and he will prepare things so that you can dispossess them. And it's going to be Joshua. He's the one that's going to go over before you, as you have already been told, as Yahuwah has spoken. And remember, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is going to do to those folks what he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto their land. They didn't do so well. They were destroyed by him. He will deliver them up before you. And, by the way, you are going to do, you will do, unto them all that I commanded you. And then he says this. Now, here is a word that I like. I had a good friend, still got the good friend, but I learned the word, first heard the word in Hebrew from him years ago, and it goes like this, Kazak, be strong and of good courage. Actually, in this case, it's Kitzchu, so it's the same root word, but it's the you all form for us southern Hebrew speakers. Y'all be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be affrighted of these folks, for Yahuwah, your El, he is the one that goes with you. He won't fail you nor forsake you. We're going to see Kazak again. This time it's just Kazak because it's Moshe talking to Joshua in the singular. So he tells him Kazak in the sight of all Israel. Be strong and of good courage, for you will go with this people into the land that Yahuwah has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you'll be the one that will help them to inherit it. And Yahuwah, he will go before you. He'll be with you, won't fail you, nor forsake you. Fear not. Don't be dismayed either. So Yahuwah, told Moshe the words of this Torah. And verse 9 says, and Moshe wrote et ha-Torah. As you know, I'm not wild about this law because there's more to this than statutes, judgments, and commandments even. He wrote the whole story down, the entire set of instruction. Moshe wrote this Torah, delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, that bore the Ark of the Covenant, and to all the elders of Israel. And he commanded them, saying, you know what? Every 7 years, and it's going to be in the time of the season that we're heading into now, in the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, that is the word that is in the Hebrew there, every 7 years, you are going to read this Torah before all Israel within their hearing. And by the way, this is going to be done when all Israel appears before Yahuwah. This is one of the feasts of Ascension in the place that he will choose, where he will put his name. So he says, assemble the people, the men, the women, the little ones, stranger within your gates, the whole bunch of folks, the mixed multitude, so that all may hear and all may learn. That's part of the reason why instruction is a pretty good way to put it. And they will fear Yahuwah, your Elohechem, and observe to do all the words of this Torah. They and their children, even those that haven't known, they can hear and learn to fear Yahuwah Elohechem. So as long as you live in the land, when you go over the Jordan to possess it, this will be true. And then Yahuwah says to Moshe, look, it is approaching the days when you must die. So call Joshua, Yahushua, and present yourselves in the tent of meeting. So I can give him his charge. I can give him his marching orders, basically. And Moshe and Yahushua went, and they presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And Yahuwah appeared in a pillar of cloud in the tent. And he stood over the door, the pillar, that is, stood over the door of the tent. And he said unto Moshe, behold, Moshe, you're fixing to sleep with your fathers. This people's going to rise up, and they're going to do what you and I both know they're going to do. They're going to go after foreign gods, the so-called Elohim of this land. And they will forsake me, and they will break my covenant, which I have made with them. Now, this is an interesting one, too. The word there, break, is a hefer. And what it literally means, and this is the same word, incidentally, that is used in a number of places, including Numbers chapter 30, where a husband doesn't break so much the word, the covenant, as he makes it void. In other words, this is what a husband does with the vows of a wife so that she is not held responsible for them. He bears her guilt, but he makes them void. So it's interesting that that is the word that's used here. Moshe, you're going to sleep with your fathers. These people are going to rise up. They're going to go astray after these foreign gods. And they will, in fact, forsake me and make void the covenant which I have made with them. And my anger, as a result, will be kindled against them in that day. I will. There's a bunch of I wills here, too. Remember when we saw the I wills prior to the Exodus? We're getting a different set here. Well, actually, it was during the time of the giving of the covenant. Anyway, I will forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they will or shall be devoured. Many evils and troubles will come upon them, and then they will say, hey, how come all this stuff is happening to us? Are not these evils come upon us because our El is not among us? And he says, I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evil which they have wrought, in that they have turned to other so-called mighty ones. Now, verse 19 is kind of interesting, too. Got a note in the margin here. This is one of the little elements from the Midrash. Midrashically, and according to the counting, most of you have probably heard that the sages went through and counted up, and the claim is there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah. And guess what? This is number 613. This is the last, according to the way that that counting is done, in the Torah. Now, therefore, here's the command. Write you this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Ha'atzinu is the what the song is usually called. It's the Song of Moshe. There's actually two. We're going to get to the actual singing of the Song of Moshe next week in chapter 32. But here, at least, is where the mitzvah that describes it. Write it out, teach it to the children of Israel, put it in their mouths so that this song can be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when it is that I shall have brought them into the land that I swore to their fathers, you know, this land flowing with milk and honey, and they've eaten their fill, and they get themselves all fat, and what do? They turn to other gods, serve them, and they despised me, and they made void. They broke my covenant. And it'll come to pass when many evils and nasty stuff, troubles galore, are come upon them, then this song shall testify before them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. Now that is an interesting promise too. You know what? I've read this a bunch of times and it just now kind of hit me in this context. Think about that for a second. Because as I'm listening to this, I'm going, okay, you know what we've been told. I mentioned it a lot last week. Oh, this law's all done away with. It's too hard anyway. Nobody can keep the law. We've heard all of that crap. That's the politest word I can come up with for it for a long time. And there's this song. The song that Moshe sings, the Song of Moses, is going to be a witness against them. All right, remembered all of that. But this part is kind of interesting. We got people that say the Old Testament's done away with. And yet, this song, it says, shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. I guess as we go through this next week and a little bit more at this point, leading up to the time of Sukkot, that's certainly something to think about. We'll address the actual song next week. I love hearing the song. Now, we don't know the tune necessarily. I know that one day we will sing this song. And this is a reminder. We're not going to forget it. So here's the question I'm going to ask, and think about this. Let's pray about this. Because we're dealing with all kinds of folks that say the law is done away with and all these usual things that we've addressed and debunked any number of times. The Bible here says the song will not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. I know that's true because he says it is. What I would like to watch, see, participate in, is how that plays out as people wake up and realize this song is something that literally does stand as a witness against us and we ought to know it. And in fact, we do. So Moshe wrote this song the same day. He taught it to the children of Israel and he gave Joshua, son of Nun, a charge. And he said, Kazakh, for you are the one who shall bring the children of Israel into the land that I swore to them and I will be with you. So it came to pass when Moshe had made an end of writing the words of this Torah in a book, a sefer, till they were finished. He commanded the Levites, those that bore the Ark of the Covenant, and he said the following, take this sefer of HaTorah, this book of the Torah, put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Yahuwah Eloheka, that it may be there for a witness against you. Because you know what, guys? I know your rebellion and how stiff-necked y'all are. Behold, I am still yet alive with you to this day. You've already been rebellious against Yahuwah. Well, just how much more so are you going to be after I'm gone, after my death? So do the following, please. Assemble unto me all the elders of your tribes, your officers, so that I can speak these words in their ears. And do what's already been discussed. We talked about it last week. Call heaven and earth to witness against them. Every time I read that, and every time I see Matthew 5:17, where Yeshua calls the same two witnesses, he says, as long as those things exist, heaven and earth, not a single tiny pit, not the least part, not one yod nor tittle of my instruction, Torah, writings, prophets, in other words, scripture, will pass away. But including the stuff that you all lie about and say is done away with and nailed to the cross, nah, those two witnesses still stand. It's still here. Torah still applies. So Moshe is fixing to say, get all these folks together and won't call heaven and earth to witness against them. Because I know, guys, that after my death, you will, in fact, deal corruptly. You'll turn aside from the way that I've commanded you, and evil will befall you. When? Tuesday? Well, actually, it says in the end of days. Are we there yet? Interesting. In the end of days, evil will befall you, because you will not do that that you're supposed to. Instead, you will do evil in the sight of Yahuwah and provoke him through the work of your hands. And that brings us to the end of the portion. Again, it's a very short one this week. And Moshe spoke in the ears of Kol Kahal, all of the assembly, all of the words of this song until they were finished. And next week we will see what it is that he sings. I do think that is that's kind of poignant as well. It's come time for Moshe to depart in every sense, and he sings. All right, let's pause there. Let me take a quick peek at the screen, see if we got any questions up there. Lots of comments and text. Okay, got a question on the screen. Haven't talked about this one in a while. Why do I pronounce the name rendered as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Tetragrammaton in Hebrew, as Yahuwah? Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Hebrew letters, you'll hear it pronounced a lot of different ways. There is no J in Hebrew, so it's not Jehovah. However, I have become convinced, having heard a whole lot of stuff, that there are a couple of interesting, I won't call them proofs, but I'll at least call them compelling indications that probably Yahuwah is correct. Again, I don't break fellowship, don't demand that people speak it the same way. Certainly got lots of folks we know that will have differences on that score. However, there are a couple of things. One, Yehuda, door into Yahuwah, take out the dalet for the door, you get Yahuwah. The names of the prophets often took one or two, never all three of the syllables from the name. So you'll see people like Yeshe Yahu, Salvation of Yahu, or Yerme Yahu, Hoshea, and so on. Much more compelling to my mind is that there is one word, and this really kind of hit me as an engineer, that it downright shocked me, as a matter of fact. There is one word that is pronounced the same in literally over 600 human languages from just about every part of the earth and from different backgrounds, Cyrillic, Aramaic type languages, Latin languages, others that we don't even know, Slavic languages, you name it. And that one word is hallelujah. And if you take the vowel pointers from hallelujah and put them with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, it comes up Yahuwah. So I found that extremely interesting, compelling even. And then a few years later, got a second witness. An individual that I ran into years ago who told me another story said, yeah, he'd come to the same recognition and furthermore had two additional things to add to it. And that was, if you look at, and he's talked to a number of midwives since he came up with this, and also hospice nurses. If you look at the beginning and end of people's lives, you'll find that there is an unvoiced thing that people will pronounce. In other words, when a baby is born and the midwife or the doctor picks it up and swats it on the little tiny buttocks, it goes, wah! And if you think about what that says, it's kind of dramatic. Likewise, at the end of a life, generally when people breathe their last, it sounds something like, and when I thought about all those things and put them together, again, I find that pretty convincing and compelling. Your mileage may vary, but at least it's food for thought, and I haven't talked about it in a while, so I figured we'd do it tonight.